A little bit of an explanation about the readings. These were the readings set for the Sunday I was preaching. And I was asked to preach on prayer because it was coming up to the global wave of prayer. So it was a case of, okay, Lord, what are you saying to me through these readings about prayer? So that's where I started from. In our reading from Revelation 10, we read in verse 1, I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. While he was in the Spirit, that is, in an attitude of prayer, John received this vision of Jesus. In our Acts reading, a vision appeared to John, to Paul, who was with Timothy. Verse 3 earlier on says Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. He was also with Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. The preceding verses in Acts speak about the leading of the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, they have been forbidden to speak the word in Asia. And in verse 7, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. They were obedient and did not go. And then Paul received his vision. If they had not been continually checking with the Spirit and waiting on him and being obedient, it is possible they would have missed this call and also missed the conversion of Lydia. This vision reminds me also of the vision of Peter in Acts 10. Cornelius, a devout man who feared God, had been in prayer, and God had sent his angels to tell him that his prayers had been heard and to send for Peter. He then gave Peter a vision. Peter had gone up onto the roof to pray, had become hungry, and had fallen into a trance while waiting for food to be prepared. And God showed him a sheet lowered down from heaven full of all sorts of beasts and reptiles and birds. Non-kosher. God told him, and remember, Peter's hungry. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter is a good Jew, obedient to the laws of Moses. No, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. God says, do not call unclean what I have called clean. This happens three times. Remember, there's a significance in repetition and significance in something being repeated three times. So when the messengers come from Cornelius, Peter knows he is to go with them. He obediently goes and begins to speak the gospel to them. And as he is doing so, the Spirit falls on them. So they're baptized in water because they have already been baptized by God in the Spirit. We would possibly have thought, you should do it the other way around. But God had different ideas. In each of the cases I've mentioned, they were praying or had been praying. They were living in an attitude of prayer. And can I suggest that the prayer that they were regularly involved in had very little to do with the shopping list prayers that are often our default setting in the church today? In our gospel reading, it's Jesus who's speaking. He's teaching his disciples. And can I also suggest here that Jesus is speaking out what he knows is in the Father's heart, because he has spent so much time in prayer with the Father that he knows his Father's heart in the matter. He tells us that those who love him will keep his word. So if we claim to be his, but do not do as he says, then we do not truly love him. He says he will send the Holy Spirit to teach us what we ought to say. But how will we speak the words given to us by the Holy Spirit unless we are listening and waiting on him in prayer? Let me just point out here that prayer is not just finding a time to be alone for a quiet time once a day, falling to our knees and spending our half hour or 20 minutes praying and then going back to our normal lives. Prayer is a way of life. It is an attitude of the heart. There is a time for prayer in the closet. But not everyone is able to find a regular space for that in our busy lives and families. So how do those people pray? Get up at 4:30 in the morning before the day starts? What if you struggle with mornings? Can I offer an alternative? There are many different ways of praying, but the ones that I've personally found the most helpful for me, and they're not the only ones I use, are the conversational prayer and the arrow prayer. The conversational prayer is simply that, talking to God during the day, even as you would talk to somebody that you were with. There are times of silence, times of questions, and times of just listening to what God is saying. There are times of going, wow, Lord, what a beautiful sunset, or lake, or person, depending on the circumstances and the surroundings. The arrow prayer is slightly different, and it's slightly more intentional. It's a way of lifting someone or something up to God in the moment, asking God to bless the person who cut in front of us at the roundabout, asking God to reveal himself to the tired and harassed-looking young mother in the supermarket, asking God to touch the person we drove past who for some reason you've noticed. It takes a couple of seconds to lift someone up to God. And sometimes it's all we have time for in that moment. Also, because I speak in tongues, I also pray in tongues. For those who have this private prayer language, and this is not the same as the gift of tongues spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, which is given for the edification of the whole body. That's the gift of tongues. The private prayer language that we are given. This is how we pray when we don't know how we should pray. God's Spirit speaks through our prayers and through our groanings, even though we don't know what we're praying. We don't actually always need to know. God knows what is needed. And sometimes our minds get in the way, don't they? This does not mean that other types of prayer don't get used, but I've found that being ready to pray moment by moment about anything and everything is the best way to stay in an attitude of prayer. How do I know when I've not been doing that and when I need to consciously start praying again? I start to get miffed at things people do or say. I get irritated more easily. I start to show a lack of love in my responses to other people. To hear from the Spirit, we need to be constantly coming back to the Spirit. His word needs to be in us and leading us always. John 15 speaks of abiding in the vine. If we stay in him and he stays in us, if we are listening and following his way, then we can hear what it is he wants us to pray for any given situation and person. So how do we pray? Writer David Benner, in his book Opening to God, tells the following story. Every day, near dusk, a man called Juan would stop at a church on his way home from work. Hard hat in hand, often dirty or at least dusty, and obviously tired. He would sit quietly at the back of the church for 5 or 10 minutes, then get up and leave. Seeing him do this day after day, month after month, the parish priest approached him one day as he was leaving and told him that he was happy that he used the church in this way. Juan thanked the priest for leaving the church open so he could come in, saying that this was a very important time for him each day. The priest asked him in what way it was important. Juan replied that this was his time with Jesus. He went on, I just come in and sit down and say, Jesus, it's Juan. What happens then? The priest asked. Well, he says, Jesus says, Juan, it's Jesus, and we're happy to just spend some time together. Prayer is much more than we allow it to be. It's an outpouring of the relationship we have with the Father and with our Lord Jesus. What is our prayer life like? Do we talk at God or with him? Do we ignore God until we want something? Do we only come to God when we're in trouble? When we're not in the habit of listening or praying, that is when we struggle to know how to pray. There are several types of prayer we can fall into when this happens, none of which are particularly helpful. The first is what Derek Prince calls directional prayer. This is when we tell God what the person should be doing or what God should do with or to or for that person. For example, Lord, just stop that person from coming to that meeting so we can do what we want without them getting in our way. Of course, we word it more discreetly than that, but it's still trying to get someone else to do or not do what we want them to. Is this right or appropriate? I don't believe it is. We don't have that right to make other people conform to what we want. God has given them free choice. We don't have the right to attempt to take that away by praying at them. Another type of prayer is the gossip prayer. Lord, so-and-so's had such a hard week with this other person doing this awful thing to them, and isn't it just dreadful what that person's doing? And giving details. When we pray, we don't need to know all the details or to pass on any details. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on, and that is enough. We're not praying for the benefit of people's ears. As well as this, when praying in a group, we need to be aware of the laws in this country about privacy. It's not appropriate to pass on details, especially without specific permission. Then there is the notice board prayer. Lord, we pray for the meeting on Wednesday and ask that everyone remember to bring a plate for the supper and a donation for the use of the hall. It may sound odd, but I have heard prayer time used in this way. This is not actually prayer. It's a notice and should be given as a notice. And of course, the most common form is the one I've already mentioned, the shopping list prayer, the list of what I want God to do for me. God is not Santa Claus. We need to stop treating him as if he is. So how do we pray? What did Jesus do? He prayed what he heard the Father say. He did what he saw the Father do. If we line our prayers up with what we read in Scripture, what we read in Jesus' words and in the attitude that Jesus had, we can't go far wrong. If we have a heart of love towards God and towards people, if we follow the words that Jesus has left us as a blueprint, we can begin to pray effective prayers, godly prayers, and prayers which rise up before God as a fragrant offering. God is our Father. Let's talk to him about what and who is on our heart as if he is our Father. I'll give you an example. Father, I'm carrying my son to you in my heart. I know that you love him even more than I do, and that you want for him the very best that heaven has to offer. I commit him into your loving arms. I ask for salvation for him because you came to save him. I ask for a softened heart towards you because you can soften or harden men's hearts. I ask that he will come to know you as his Father, just as Jesus knows you, Father. And I thank you that you've heard not just the words I've prayed, but the heart cry that goes with it. When Paul and his fellow workers prayed and were obedient, God opened the way for them to meet Lydia in Philippi, and she was converted by the good news they brought. When we listen, God can use our prayers to great effect. And when we pray, he can use our words. And if we cannot find the words, he can use our lack of words. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, infill us and teach us to pray aright. We commit our hearts and wills to you and ask that you be glorified in our prayers and in our lives. Amen.